Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. My co-host in the studio today is Jason Burley. And this is our annual Commander's Task Force Christmas show, where we'll visit with several of our veteran service organizations and check in with the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
As our days become shorter and colder, we know that the winter holiday season is upon us. 2020 is a year unlike any other, and one where it's easy to become overwhelmed by the stress of our daily lives. Please take the time to pause and reflect on all of the wonders of your life and the beauty the world has to share with us. It could be a smile on a child's face as they open a present. For those who have deployed overseas, a simple warm meal and a video chat with family back home. Take the time this holiday season to stop and appreciate those moments and share that joy with those who are around you. Whether you celebrate Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Diwali, or one of the many other holidays observed by our diverse organization, know that you and your family have our warmest wishes. Thank you for everything you do, and happy holidays.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. My co-host today is Jason Burley, and Jason, don't think you've had the treat of the annual Commander's Task Force CTF Christmas show, but we're going to have four of the Veteran Service Organization commanders on today, and sometimes this one gets a little out of hand.
Well, I'm incredibly excited because I've obviously listened to it, and now to participate. Does it really get any better than this?
Well, something a Marine should look forward to, I think, and I'm sure you do. So joining us now is the commander of the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota, Ron Haugen, and he's also the chair of the Commander's Task Force and a fellow Vietnam veteran. Ron, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. It's a joy to be here.
Good to have you here, sir. And can you tell us, you were in Vietnam, when were you there, and where did you serve?
I went to Vietnam in April of 69, and I got home in May of 70, and I served with the 18th Aviation Company out of, or the battalion was main base was out of Quy Nhon, and we had platoons up at Marble Mountain, up at Pleiku, and down at Nha Trang.
Pleiku, I was there while I was over at Cameron Base. So you're bringing back 50-year-old memories, Ron.
Maybe we hauled you someplace.
Well, you may very well have. I was Air Force and you were Army, so it might have been the other way around. Now, the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota, that's a very active organization. How many years have you been a member, and how long did it take you to get to be the commander?
I've been a member for 15 years, or roughly 15 years. I didn't think I was eligible because I didn't understand the rules of the game, but I could have been a member as soon as I came out of Vietnam with things that I inherited from there. But as for getting involved in the state level of the organization, I come out of the Mankato chapter, and I was trying to recruit somebody to get involved on the state end and getting frustrated, so I raised my hand. And it took about 5-6 years, and I moved up through what we call the chairs, and now I'm commander.
And here you are, your year as commander, and you're deep into it.
Yep.
Probably been traveling all over the state, get to work with your adjutant over there, Stephen Whitehead, closely.
And, yep.
And you're doing a lot of things to take care of veterans and get them to their medical appointments, and DAV's a busy outfit.
Yep. Is it a joy to work with Stephen? I don't know if you're aware of there, Tom, but we have we come from the same neighborhood in south central Minnesota, so I know a lot of his relatives and family, and so we have things in common, and it seems to make things work easier.
You've got an incredible adjutant. He just finished 2 years as a national commander of the DAV, and
yep.
He's a command sergeant major in the Army National Guard. He's a busy guy, but he gets things done, doesn't he?
Yep, he's very much so.
All right, we're speaking with Ron Haugen, who is the commander of the DAV of Minnesota and the chair of the Commander's Task Force on Minnesota Military Radio. And, Ron, I want to talk about the Commander's Task Force now. It's comprised of 8 federally chartered veteran service organizations here in Minnesota, and every year they get together and somebody gets hit to be the chair, and you got hit this year.
Well, yeah. Stephen Whitehead and our legislative director, Trent Dilks, they coached me and says, you know, stand a little bit taller.
Volunteered or voluntold, Ron?
So yeah. It is an honor to be the commander of the task force.
Can you tell our listeners what is the mission of the commander's task force?
The short version of it is we are the legislative arm of all the service organizations in Minnesota, which include the American Legion, the VFW, the AMVETS, the Paralyzed Veterans of America, the DAV, the Military Order of the Purple Heart, Marine Corps League, and the Jewish War Veterans. We become one coalition, and our job is to represent the 340,000 veterans in Minnesota.
So you combine your membership, and you choose some legislative initiatives every year, and you go up to the Capitol on Veterans Day on the Hill, and you talk about what we need to do to take care of our veterans and their families.
Yes, we want to be noticed, and you know, we've always talked about if you have a strong showing, our Congress, our legislators, they tend to pay more attention to us, and you got to show them that you're interested.
And we had a couple of bad years with the pandemic, but before that, we were bringing in lots and lots of veterans from all over Minnesota, and I'm hopeful that next spring when we have Veterans Day on the Hill, we can bring in as many veterans as possible.
Yeah, the day hasn't been scheduled yet, but we're already in the process of working and lining up buses to haul veterans in, and our intention is to fill up the rotunda again and be a loud voice for veterans.
Now, Ron, you're going to be in that chair for the whole show today since you're the chair of the CTF. And we're going to bring in the next segment the American Legion, and after that we're going to talk to the AMVETS, and after that we're going to talk to the Military Order of the Purple Hearts. We're going to save a couple of Marines for the end. That's always fun.
But, I'll be quiet on comments, sir.
Well, we'll get to that in the fourth segment. But I want to talk just a little bit in each segment about your legislative priorities, and I know that you wanted to talk about urging the legislature to pay a bonus to post 9/11 veterans.
Yes, and this would be, if we don't have it in concrete yet of what we're going to ask for, but it will be a bonus system. All the Vietnam vets are aware of, back in the early 70s, we were given a bonus, but here it'll be a multi-level type bonus for any veteran who served during that time. And being in country, if you will, you'll get a larger bonus than if you stayed stateside.
And, of course, we just celebrated the 20th anniversary of 9/11 over at the state capitol, and we had 20 years of war in Afghanistan, which we're going to talk a lot about next week on the Chaplain's Christmas show. But this is a group of veterans that have served honorably and served well. And they may feel a little bit like we did after Vietnam, is feeling like, why did we go there?
The one thing that we encourage, especially with we talked about Vets on a Hill Day, is having some younger faces take the day off to show their face at the legislators will take notice of that rather than seeing a bunch of Vietnam vets with gray hair.
Ron, you know,
Jason, he was looking at you when he said younger faces.
Well, that's hard to believe because, you know, many of us that have served during this era are now the gray-bearded older folks. What is the demographic today of our veterans and the folks that you're working with?
Oh.
Not specifically. But, I mean, are we seeing a number of younger veterans come into the organizations, or is that still a struggle?
The problem remains the same for recruiting young veterans, whether it's the Legion or VFW, Paralyzed Veterans. The DAV is the younger vets, the under 50 vet is busy in his work career and busy with his family. It's after the kids are grown and moved off, and the vet will have time to get more involved in the organization. So right now, if you look at most organizations, they're heavy with the Vietnam vets. And basically, the average age of a Vietnam vet at this point is 74, 75 years old.
And if we don't take care of them now, it's going to be too late. Ron, we've got to take a short break. When we come back, you're going to stay with us throughout the show. When we come back, we're going to be joined by the commander of the American Legion here in Minnesota. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, my co-host is Jason Burley, and we're involved in our annual Commander's Task Force Christmas show. We've been joined by the commander of the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota, and he's also the chair of the Commander's Task Force. And Ron, we're off to a good start here. We got some legislative stuff we talked about. We talked about the DAV, the mission of the CTF, and now we're joined. We've got a special guest in the studio. You want to introduce him?
Yes, I will, Tom. It's my pleasure to introduce from the American Legion, which is 60,000-plus membership in Minnesota. Our commander here is today, Tom Furland. Welcome, Tom.
Thank you, Ron.
Tom, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Good morning, Tom. It's an honor to be here. And I know you mentioned about the Marines coming in earlier, but myself being Air Force, you're Air Force, my wife's with me today, so we're not outnumbered. There's at least three of us here from Air Force.
We'll give them top cover all day, even if they are Marines and Army and so forth. Tom, tell us a little bit about your time in the Air Force.
All right, I joined the Air Force right out of high school when I was 18, and right away, the main thing I wanted to do was travel. So I spent 10 and a half years in. I did deploy for Desert Storm. They gave me 3 hours to go. We just came back from Germany. We were stationed up in upstate New York. And wrong place, wrong time. They told me, you got 3 hours, go pack. Told my wife, she's also Air Force veteran, so she had to deal with me being gone for 8 months. And after we got back, they had the reduction in forces, and we decided to come out and try the civilian side.
So how did you get involved with the American Legion, Tom?
Well, I played American Legion ball when I was younger, so I was somewhat familiar with it. And when we moved back to Minnesota, we moved up to Waite Park, and Waite Park American Legion was just a few blocks away. So we were probably there a day and decided to stop by the post. And right away, we joined that day and been there for 30 years.
And, Tom, historically, the American Legion has had more membership because more people are eligible to join than the VFW or DAV or Purple Hearts and so forth. And so as the biggest veteran service organization in Minnesota, you feel a heavy responsibility there to represent your members as part of the Commander's Task Force?
Definitely. It's an honor to represent all veterans, and just being part of the American Legion is a plus, because all the service organizations, our main goal is to help take care of veterans and their families. And one thing with the American Legion is we are one big family. We've got our Sons of the American Legion, our auxiliary, and we all work together, and that's how great things happen.
At the time, I was in the YZ American Legion for breakfast last week, and they've got that thing decorated up like no tomorrow for Christmas, and they like to do those things over there. But are there a lot of activities around the state, things that your posts are doing to support their communities and to support those that can't afford to have a nice Christmas?
There definitely is. There's many that might be doing some Christmas meals that they've got available. But the big thing, like you mentioned, where they're all decorated, there's a lot of veterans and their families that they might not have that opportunity to have family around anymore. So they come out to the post, and it makes them feel at home. And they actually get involved helping set up the decorations also. So it's all a part of being that family.
And we don't talk about it much, but the American Legion posts that have charitable gambling, they spend the majority of the funds that they raise with that helping the communities and giving to charities, and it's a major deal.
Definitely. Just the last few weeks, I've been invited to a few holiday meals, and just yesterday, we were up in Bagley, Minnesota, and they gave some donations to us. They gave some to my project, which happens to be helping the veteran homes and helping our Legionville organization. But they also gave like $1,000, I think there was about $4,000 checks that they set up for their scholarships in the community.
So you're supposed to give back to the community as much as possible. And people don't talk about that too much. They think, well, it's just a bunch of veterans going up to the hall to have a beer. But yeah, it's a lot more than that, isn't it?
One other great one that I should mention was just last week, I was in St. Louis Park, American Legion. They gave me $20,000 in donations, $4,000 or $5,000 checks. So one went to the National Emergency Fund. One went to our pheasant dinners, which goes out to help feed some of our or bring some meals to veterans that are at the VAs or at the veteran homes and to bring recognition to them, make sure that they're remembered. But it's just amazing to be able to go out there and receive those donations.
And as this year's state commander, you get to see all that activity and learn that those posts are out there and they're pretty busy and they're doing some great things.
It is. It's just a great opportunity, and I'm just very honored.
We're celebrating Christmas with the Commander's Task Force today on Minnesota Military Radio. And Ron, I want to come to you. We talked about the Commander's Task Force is made up of American Legion, VFW, AMVETS, Paralyzed Veterans, DAV, Military Order of the Purple Heart, Marine Corps League, and the Jewish War Veterans. I've also heard, and you have monthly meetings of all of those commanders, and I think there's one president in there. But I've heard in the past that the commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs sometimes refers to the Commander's Task Force as his board of directors. You work closely with the MDVA.
The commissioner is he's good to work with. He's very supportive of us, and he does have the governor's ear, which makes our task as being a legislative arm for the veterans very more meaningful. And Commissioner Herkey is a very good commissioner for the veterans.
There's an interesting story there. When he was a commander in the National Guard, the governor was working for him, and now that the governor is the governor, the roles are reversed. But it's an interesting dynamic. Tom, I want to come back to you. We in the Commander's Task Force, part of what you do is define some legislative priorities. And you combine your membership and then go up to the Capitol to talk about some ways the legislators can help take care of our veterans. And I know one of the issues is property tax relief for the post homes. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. It's kind of near and dear to my heart, belonging to Waite Park American Legion. We actually just sold our post in June, and part of the reason we sold it was the expenses. We were paying close to $60,000 a year just for property tax, and we'd looked for relief, couldn't really find it. With aging membership, the building getting older, you just can't make up all that money. So all our American Legions, they open up their homes to all nonprofits. They're definitely the pillars of the community. They're kind of that place to go to gather. And they're donating all that time. So if there's any kind of relief that can be given, it definitely should be given to the homes of our veteran organizations.
And your post homes are coming off a couple tough years with the pandemic. They were closed for a while, and when you're closed and you have no business, pretty hard paying any bills, much less the taxes.
Right, definitely.
Well, the American Legion certainly is accepting. I'm at the Wayzata Legion quite often as a secondary office. Who can and who is eligible for membership in the American Legion, and how do they find you?
Well, the American Legion, in fact, it's just been, I think it's been about 2 years ago, we had the Veterans Act, which was passed, which makes any veteran that served one day of federal service eligible for the American Legion. And that's all the way back to World War II. So it kind of closed some gaps where there were some gaps, individuals were not eligible. Of course, you do have to typically be honorably discharged for the membership.
And how do I find out more about becoming a member?
You can talk to me, and I've got an application with me. But you can go to either legion.org or mnlegion.org, and there are opportunities that you can actually sign up online. Another great way is to just stop by a local American Legion post and definitely just talk to an individual there, and anybody will be able to help you out.
Tom, we just got about a minute left, but I want to ask you a question. Christmas time for those of us with family is a time to get together and have some fun and go to the church of your choice, but we've got a lot of veterans out there that are living alone, and I know the American Legion talks about buddy checks. This is an important time of year for that.
Yes. You know, just can't express enough for any veteran that feels alone. Reach out. Again, the posts are available. We're calling all the time, looking at people that haven't been showing up at our posts. Maybe they haven't renewed. That's the best time to start calling and checking on individuals just to see, make sure they're doing okay. We always want to make sure no veterans left behind, but I can't urge enough to definitely reach out and just remember you're never alone.
Very good, sir. Thanks for taking the time to drive all the way back into town and join us today for this Christmas show.
Thank you, Tom. I want to say Merry Christmas, everybody.
It was Tom Fernland, the American Legion Department Commander in Minnesota. And Ron, when we come back, we're going to talk to AMVETS on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. My co-host today is Jason Burley. And we're celebrating Christmas with the Commander's Task Force. And in the studio with us is the commander of the DAV of Minnesota and the chairman of the Commander's Task Force here in Minnesota, Ron Haugen. And Ron, you kind of lit up there. You like that music?
Oh, cripes, it really gets...
Some good stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, I want to go buy the kids something. Yeah.
All right. Well, you can do that when we're done working today. We've got another special guest in the studio. You know who he is? Can you introduce him?
Yes, well, it's my honor here for, we have the American, or the AMVETS as they go by in Minnesota, a national organization. We have the pleasure today to have the commander from the organization here, John Flores. John, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me.
John, good to see you back in the studio. You know how to do this. You've been here before. Do you remember?
Yeah, but we forget.
We forget. Okay.
You'll work me through it.
Well, in case our listeners forgot, can you share with us what was your military experience?
Oh, it's kind of all over the place. Like many, I went to Fort Leonard Wood and went out to Fort Ord in California, but somehow I got lost in the shovel, so they tried to figure out what to do with me. They made me a drill instructor. Bless their hearts.
And that sounds like Army to me.
It was Army all the way. Hooah. And anyway, then I...
That was weak. Come on now. Hooah.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to wake anybody up here.
All right.
But yeah, then I wound up being sent to Germany, and I was a training NCO there for a long time. And I did a lot of other duties and places, and so did a lot of training of soldiers going off to, in country. And then I came home and I decided that I might not want to ever do that for a long-term career. But, a couple of years later, a friend of mine that I flew with talked me into going into the Army National Guard in Minnesota. And so we did that for the rest of my career. I put in 22 years. And so it was fun. And you went to a lot of places, did a lot of things. You did a lot of helping in Minnesota. With the blizzards and floods, and you were helpful, and that's the main thing. I had the privilege of training with the Chilean Army, the Argentine Army, and then South Salvadorian Army, and that's because I was able to speak a modicum of Spanish, and that helped, but it was an enjoyable experience. We did a lot of things. I spent 8 years in the National Guard counter-drug program. I didn't know that existed, but anyway, we had a lot of different experiences.
John, you're a marked man. I will forever now think of you as a drill instructor, a DI.
Oh, amen. Amen.
But tell us how you got to the AMVETS.
Well, that happened. I ran into some of our veterans about 15 years ago, and, you've got to do this and you've got to do that. Well, I'm still in the Guard. And in a couple of years later, I was in AMVETS in post 5. And so I went up the ladder and became commander there for 5 years. And we did a lot of stuff. We're still doing a lot of stuff. But I brought that tradition up to the state level. And we make donations of food for the poor, and we do wreaths and a lot of contact with our veterans now with the pandemic on, buddy system. We haven't heard from some, so we give them a call and knock on their door. If somebody lives two blocks away, then that's your job. Go talk to them. But we don't want them to be alone or think they are. So it's all part of the game of being a buddy and a fellow veteran, and that's what we're about.
Very good, sir. busy time of the year between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Two questions. How many members do you have in Minnesota? And are your members busy doing helping the community at current holidays?
Yeah, we've got about 1,000 members statewide. It fluctuates a little bit up and down, but generally we're right in that area. We have 15 posts scattered around the state from the Iron Range all the way south to Albert Lea and west to Appleton and then over to Winona, Red Wing. And so it's a lot of fun getting out there to see them. They're a bunch of crazy people. They're great veterans. And when I go out to Appleton, of course, I get to have some of that wild shot Sal from down in Texas that they keep trying to kill.
All right. Now, this is a family show, John.
I know. They're big monsters. They go hunting. They enjoy that.
We're celebrating the Christmas season today with the Commander's Task Force on Minnesota Military Radio. And, Ron, thank you for staying with us throughout the show. And we've been talking a little bit on and off about the Commander's Task Force and the mission of the CTF, where you combine John's 1,000 members with all of your members and go up to the Capitol and get things done. Are you just about set with your legislative initiatives for the coming year?
Yes, we are. I believe it was on the 3rd of December, we had a meeting with the task force, had a meeting with Commissioner Herkey and Governor Walz, and we presented our priorities and their initiatives for the upcoming 2022 legislative session. And we did get endorsements from the commissioner and the governor on our agenda. So it's looking positive. And we have not set the date yet for Vets on the Hill, but that'll be coming out here shortly, and it should be late March.
And we'll have you back on, and we'll talk about that. And John, I want to come to you. One of those legislative initiatives is the homestead market value exclusion. Can you tell us about that, what it is, and why we need it?
Yes, it's directed towards disabled veterans. Many of our veterans that have served in country are highly disabled, and the program was created a long time ago, and it gave a market, a homestead credit to disabled veterans that are 70% disabled or more, and many of them are, and it gives them a credit off their property taxes. It's a good thing that enables veterans to stay in their homes, and helps their families and children to be stable. That was the goal, and in addition to that, a surviving spouse can retain that. Originally, it was for 8 years. Now it's for lifetime, unless the property is sold one time. The spouse can retain that benefit for a lifetime. And so that's an important program. And our effort and goal this year to the legislature is to make that a little bit lower that timeline, that date line, down to 50% disability to retain that value. Like I said, it's good for veterans to have their stability in their life and their family and children. So that's a benefit. In my view, I think we should have it lower based on your disability rating and keep it real simple.
Thanks,
but
John.
If we can do more, we can do more.
Jason, we just got about a minute left in this segment. Did you have a follow-up question?
Well, John, the AmVets of Minnesota are clearly up to a lot of good. What are the criteria to becoming an AmVet member, and how do I join the organization?
Well, we have a website that'll get you the phone number, 651-293-1212, and a person on the other end of that phone line will be me. Or you leave a message, and I'll call you right back. And, if you've served in country somewhere, out of the country, you've served in the military, you're eligible to join AmVets.
Great.
The commander and his staff, the commander. They do good, efficient work. I shouldn't be surprised that you were going to say that, John. John, I want to thank you for taking time to come in and join us on this year's CTF Christmas show.
Well, I want to thank you for having me, and I wish all veterans across the board a Merry Christmas. Be a safe holiday.
Thank you, sir. And Ron, when we come back, we're going to talk to another veteran service organization, the Paralyzed Veterans of America, and their local representative, who's been sitting over here in the corner very patiently throughout the show.
He has been quiet.
All right,
we'll give him his chance.
He's a Marine. We'll see how that works. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Frosty the Snowman.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. My co-host today is Jason Burley, and we've had Ron Haugen, the DAV of Minnesota commander, in the studio all day. In a moment, we're going to hear from the Paralyzed Veterans of America. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
During the holiday season of giving and sharing, we at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs express our heartfelt thanks to our veterans and the men and women in uniform who continually protect us. This is a wonderful time of year and another great opportunity to reflect on our mission of caring for veterans and their families. Best wishes for a wonderful holiday season and a new year of health and happiness. The best part of the season is remembering those who make the holidays meaningful. Join me as I take a moment to remember the families who are missing a veteran or service member this holiday season. Happy holidays.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Ron, I want to come back to you quick. We learned about the American Legion and the AMVETS. What about eligibility for the DAV? How many members do you have, and how do you become one?
To become a member, you have some sort of service-connected disability, whether you fell off of a dumpster or you fell into your foxhole or went on sick call. But it's service-connected disability, and you would qualify for the membership into the organization. And during the holidays here, I'll be quick about it, we do have an incentive program. Normally, life membership to DAV is $300. And with the help of the local chapters of the DAV and the Department of Minnesota, they will chip in. So as a potential member, it costs you $100 to become a life member.
Very good. So if you've got a disability due to your service in the country, you can join the DAV, and you've got a deal, $100. Ron, we got to keep moving on.
Yep.
We got two Marines in the studio now. My co-host, you know, he started out as a Marine, and you never get done with that.
Well, I'll talk slow. So.
And there's another Marine here. Would you like to introduce him?
Yes, I would. It's my pleasure. From the Paralyzed Veterans of America, we have the National Director, Todd Kimbery. Todd?
Thank you, Tom. And Tom, I appreciate being here.
Todd, good to have you back in the studio. You were sitting patiently in the corner and not acting like a Marine, but here you are now, so we're ready for you.
Yeah, now I can let loose, Tom.
How's you were the chair of the task force last year, and of course you were president of the Paralyzed Veterans of America. Another one of your members stood up and took that position, and now you're back doing what you really want to do, is the legislative stuff, and you've been doing that for years.
I've been doing that going on 19 years now, Tom. So yeah, that's where my heart is, and so it's great to be here to be able to talk those things.
What's going on with your members at PVA during the holiday seasons?
So we've initiated a type of buddy check, and I'll use that term because it fits the bill. Our board members, including myself, are calling our membership, and at any given time, it's 350 throughout the state of Minnesota. So it's our responsibility to make sure that we keep in touch. We give everybody on the membership list a call and make sure that they're doing well and if there's anything that we can do for them.
Very good. Jason, you had a Marine sitting right next to you the whole show. You were smiling over there, and you guys were behaving.
Seventh Heaven, we were doing all of our Marine stuff, secrets.
Secrets, okay. Todd, as you well know, having been chair of the Commander's Task Force, the last, I don't know, half a dozen times you were on the show, we were talking about legislative initiatives and what was going on last year and the year before, and you've done some great work, and despite your disability, you're all over the place at legislative hearings. You're all over the state. You came here today in some pretty crummy weather. Good on you. But I wanted to ask you, one of the legislative initiatives was some work for personal care attendants.
So, yeah, we were able to accomplish that with the help of the CTF and the other organizations that are here that became part of the agenda. And they passed. They got an increase in in their paychecks, but there were some things that didn't go along with that, like cost of living, education opportunities, all that stuff takes money, and that's what we're doing. We would like to do this time around, is especially in line with what the recent announcement of the budget surplus here in the state of Minnesota. So we're going to try to tap into that and see if we can't get everything that we wanted to.
Todd, every employer in Minnesota is looking for good workers. I imagine you're having a hard time finding people that might want to be a personal care attendant.
That's when you get get a bigger paycheck at staying home, that definitely is a problem. And so that's all part of the initiative, and we want to be able to have people want to come back. And with education opportunities to go further, nursing, whatever they want to do, that's an incentive to get people into becoming PCAs.
Todd, you and I talked about this before, but you and your members are proud PVA members and like to do as much as you can to take care of yourselves. And we've asked our listeners, don't just go running up to somebody in a wheelchair and start pushing them. Ask them if they need help. Give them their due respect. But it's good to have some personal care attendants out there for when you need them.
Sure. There's some of us that are so catastrophically disabled that they need that 24/7 or close to it type of care. Getting dressed, feeding, washing, all of that. There are those of us out there that need that extra help.
Ron, I'm sure you can lean on Todd this year. He was the chair, and I'm sure he's told you a little bit about his time as the chair of the CTF and what that's all involved and all the extra duties you get to take on this year.
I'm gradually finding out all the duties. Hasn't been really open about all of it, but we've chatted about the what it is, and prior to being commander, I had the opportunity to attend a couple of meetings. So it's, I think it's been a pretty good transition. If he's shaking his head, yes. So that's a positive.
All right, Marine, you got to stand up and help Ron this year. Now, come on.
Oh, absolutely. He's done the job. He's fit right in. He's been a commander for as many years that he mentioned beforehand. So, and he's legislative. So. If you're good at that, then I really don't have to, I'm preaching to the choir sort of thing.
And he's got Trent Dilks over there with helping him. He was your buddy last year, too.
Yeah, Trent is one outstanding individual when it comes to legislative.
Todd, just a few seconds left. Any message for the holidays for our listeners?
We just want to be able to remind ourselves of those people that are in serving, even though Afghanistan and Iraq are now a memory, or I should say nobody's there. Say that those memories will always be there. But there are other people out there. And with the current world situation that's going on, we're continuing to have to be in places that we haven't been before. So happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year for all those veterans that are out there and the active duty, including their families.
Todd, thanks for joining us today on the CTF Christmas Show.
Thank you, Tom. I certainly do appreciate my time.
And Ron, we've enjoyed having you in the studio for this entire show. We got one more guest coming up. If you could stay with us, we'll take care of that.
I will, Tom.
Joining me now from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System is their public affairs officer, Brad Dobrzynski. Brad, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, it's great to be back, Tom. Thanks.
You must have given the director a day off.
Yeah, sometimes you have to give him a day off. He works pretty hard over here, so... And being it is about Christmas time, we decided to give him a little bit of time.
All right, we'll chalk that up for the holiday spirit, but we need to get up to date with you. And I want to ask you first: the pandemic is still here. Are you still giving shots? And are you still under some restrictions for who can come in and out?
Yeah, I'll tell you what: we are still giving COVID shots. If you don't have it, you can come in and get your first shot, and sign up for your second one, and you can also get your booster shot. And that's for everybody 18 and older. All veterans can get that are, signed up to get that. And I'd also like to say that it's not too late to get your flu shot either.
Very good. I think the last time I was out there, I got the COVID in one arm and the flu in the other, and I was in and out of there in 15 minutes. So it was pretty efficient.
Then they've continued to do that, and they're going to continue it.
Very good, sir. Now, I understand you've got some construction going on. Is something going on with the outpatient entrance?
Yeah, right now they are fixing the heat coils in the vestibule outside, and we have moved all of the screening to inside of that vestibule. So it's a little congested getting to the emergency department and getting to those elevators, but that'll be done here in a week or two. But I also want to put out that if the temperature drops low enough, we do move that back in for the safety of veterans as they come in to get screened. So it could happen again if the temperature gets too low during the winter.
So for our veterans, get there early, be careful, be warm, and you're ready to take care of them.
That is absolutely correct.
Brad, I understand you wanted to talk about the Women Veterans Call Center.
Yeah, so it's called the Women Veterans Call Center. The phone number is 855-829-6636, and women veterans can call that. They'll talk to another woman about issues that they're having, health care, whatever they'd like, and it's a nationally run phone line, but it'll be answered in that region. So if there's a follow-up that needs to happen and that woman veteran calls from, say, you know, Hennepin County, and she wants to talk to somebody here, she's going to get a follow-up within 72 hours. And I'd like to add, the person that does those follow-up calls does it within 24. So we're really good about that, making sure that we can contact and talk to our women veterans and give them the kind of care and need that they deserve.
And the easy way to remember that phone number is to remember 855-VA-WOMEN.
That's absolutely correct.
And there's a website here also. It's womenshealth.va.gov.
Yep, and there's a chat function as well with that, so they can get in contact with them if they'd like through the Internet.
Very good. And is there a Women Veterans Town Hall coming up?
Yep, it's our first one, and we're planning on having it January 11th at 6:30 p.m. We're going to be sending out the information on how women veterans can get connected through this to this town hall. We're going to send out a big email, send it out on social media, and once we get all that info, we'll kick it out to all of our veterans so that they can sign up and talk about the issues that they need to talk about.
Very good, sir. I hope all our veterans and everyone at the VA has a great Christmas holiday.
You as well, Tom, and I can't even begin to say the same thing without jumping on board and saying that all veterans need to have a great time this holiday season.
Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
This is Brad Dobuzinski, the Public Affairs Officer for the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Ron Hagen, John Flores, Todd Kemmery, Tom Fernland, my co-host, Jason Burley, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week for our annual Chaplain's Christmas Show with a very special guest. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, wishing you a Merry Christmas and hoping that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.